You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 319 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week, we're going to discuss why you shouldn't trust your AI girlfriend or boyfriend with your personal information. Yes, that's right, folks. Nothing against you if you decide to have an AI boyfriend or girlfriend, but you should know that they should never, ever be trusted with your personal data.
You're saying
we'll explain why.
You're saying they're not Julia Roberts as Pretty Woman?
No, definitely not. So that will be a fun conversation. And then we're going to discuss the shocking, and I say that with air quotes, shocking story about how the U.S. government is acquiring vast amounts of consumer data from various sources, including cell phones, social media, internet ad exchanges, all this stuff for surveillance purposes.
Surprise.
This is such a surprise, I know, but we're here on this podcast to share these breaking news stories with you all. And to hear Kevin's opinions, of course. So welcome back, Kevin.
I have so many opinions.
Oh, I know you do, especially these topics.
Yeah.
These are exciting.
I don't know about exciting.
I think they're exciting.
Okay, let's go with it.
Who would have thought that AI girlfriends are a privacy nightmare, Kevin?
Okay, let's be clear. I just turned 51.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. I'm in the middle of going through a divorce, right? And
I see where this is leading.
And so let me be very clear that Facebook has decided that there are pretty much two ads that I want. ED medicine. Which I'm not judging. I'm just saying, why assume? Right? Like that bothers me. But okay, so that's the first one. And the second one is, I have seen more AI girlfriend ads than I think any human should see.
And what are they trying to say?
And every time I say to Facebook, no, hide that ad. I'm not in. Like, I'm not. Look. If you're into an AI girlfriend and that helps you out, more
totally.
Power to you. But to me, that's the same as going to a casino in Vegas, looking around at all the decorations and money they've spent to build it and think to yourself, man, I'm leaving here with winnings. I just doesn't cut it for me, I guess. I don't know. I haven't tried one. Maybe they would. Whatever. But I've seen lots of these ads. And I don't know how anybody could look at these sketchy ads and think to themselves, that is a privacy-respecting organization.
Yeah, you're
right.
I don't
get it. In the article you linked to, I read the article, and the article's like, yep. Like, huh? But it calls out the idea that, like, the couple of companies they actually got a response from, which should tell you something, right?
Yeah, not everybody responded.
Right. But the couple of companies that were like, oh, no, we don't use any of your chats to train the LLM, right? Mm-hmm. It's all we type in our own messages and we train them on our own data. And I don't mean to be rude, but bullshit. And like, no, you don't. You do not have somebody typing random sex chats with an AI girlfriend.
No.
To train the LLM. You don't. And oh, by the way, how did you advertise for that job? That's what I wanted. Like the job description. We need you to be ridiculously open-minded about what you're willing to talk about to an AI. So privacy problems. Okay, so they collect data. Duh. This is sensitive data. Because if you watch the ads, and I have, because they are intriguing. And I say that not from a, ooh, I'm interested in doing that, but from a, the heck is this thing? They encourage you to treat this as a confidant.
Yes.
They encourage you. Like I remember one that I saw that basically presented it as, you have three options. You can get however spicy you want to get. You can have it as a friend. Or you can have it as a therapist.
And, yes.
Right? Like, they promote this idea that this is a safe place. This is, it's not a real person. So you don't have to worry about judgment or whatever. Mm-hmm. So open yourself up, freely share, whatever that is. And I'm the whole time I'm watching the video, the whole time I'm reading this ad copy, I'm thinking to myself, oh God, you're lying. The amount of data they have access to. I'm not even claiming they're actually capturing it. I'm not claiming, I know they are. You know they are, I know they are. But oh my gosh, this is, and here's the sad part to me. There are people who do not have that connection with others. That this is actually something that might be good for them. I don't know. Like, I'm not a psychologist. I barely know my own mental issues, right? But I can see the idea that somebody who is lonely, somebody who is isolated for whatever reason, having this friend of whatever type being helpful. I also see bad stuff. Like, let's be clear. I can come up with bad ideas. But That's messed up.
It is, in a way, taking advantage of people to make money. And that is very disturbing because, you know, going back to the ads, like you said, they are all sexually charged, all of these ads, at least the ones, you know, that are popping up, right,
in your feed. I have seen the ones that are the therapist charged ones where it's like, let us comfort you, let us help you, let us get you through whatever you're going through. I actually have seen more of those than the sexually charged
Interesting.
ones. And I think that's really based on the idea that I'm in the middle of a divorce. So the idea is, I don't know,
you're hitting keywords in an algorithm is what's happening. I think it's in a way pretty disturbing that there's all these companies popping up and there's not a lot of talk in their advertising about how they protect your data for obvious reasons.
There's not a lot of talk in their privacy policies about how they.
And there isn't either. It's very vague. And if you could even find privacy policies, you know, we've done episodes on that as well of analyzing some of these privacy policies, and they, you know, spin them with legalese and all these other things that make it difficult for the average, you know, person to understand. But I found this research done by Mozilla, their team called the Privacy Not Included team. They've done a bunch of research in the past, and I think it's good that someone's finally kind of shedding a little more light on what these chatbots are really about and how they're sending, you know, a lot of trackers are installed, no surprise, to Google, to Facebook. There's companies in China and Russia that are getting information about how you're using the application or on the app, but I mean, you know that they're being trained by their AI, whichever major flavor you want to pick, right? Whether that's, you know, ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever, right? It's leveraging some larger language model. And just like when we talk about how you shouldn't put sensitive or very personal information into ChatGPT, you really don't know where your sensitive and personal conversations are going when you're putting it into an AI chatbot like one of these.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's my biggest problem here, is that so much of, at least with ChatGPT, and we can argue ethics, morals, goodness, whatever, but at least with ChatGPT, this is a very publicly available company, right? Like they have made it very clear who they are. Right. And again, we can argue about who we like there, who we dislike there, whatever. You have a throat to choke. Right. Which is, you know, years and years ago, one of my bosses always talked about that, was they preferred a vendor that they had a throat to choke. If there was a problem, they could reach out and grab the guy. With these, you're downloading some sketchy, and it doesn't appear to be sketchy if you're not paying attention, but a sketchy app from the Play Store or the App Store. And it's like, who is it? I don't know. It AI girlfriend, AI boyfriend. AI whatever. Like, what I want is an AI puppy.
When are those coming out?
I don't know. But that would be awesome, right? Like, the problem is petting it, right? You know, I'm not sharing sensitive data to my puppy.
Yeah, well, Nintendo, and like, isn't there like, dog?
Yes, oh my god.
Nintendo dogs or something. And remember, like, that they've got virtual pets, like, for the Switch and for all these other game consoles. It goes back to, like, The Sims. Remember The Sims?
I do remember The Sims. My youngest daughter loves The Sims. Mm-hmm. Nintendogs. Nintendogs was available. It was a real-time pet simulation video.
Yeah.
This is according to Wikipedia. Released for the DS.
Okay.
And yep. It was released 19 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, virtual pets have been a thing.
Okay. I forgot about... Man.
Dust off your old Nintendo DS and Nintendogs going.
I never owned a Nintendo DS. And if I did, I would not have owned Nintendogs. I don't... But by the way, it did have a multiplayer mode, which I'm not 100% sure...
Hey.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Nice.
The internet knows everything.
Yes, it does. Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
Kevin, did you know that the U.S. government is really spying on you?
Say it ain't so.
And it's legal?
Craziness.
I don't know that it's legal.
I think it hasn't been challenged.
Maybe it hasn't been challenged. That's a good point. That's a good point.
And I'll tell you, the article... Okay, finish what you're saying, and then I'll rant. Because I got a rant.
I know you got a rant. Because there's a lot of ranty things in this article.
I picked out
Kevin's going to be mad about this. Kevin's got a point, especially this one.
Yeah, I'm glad our standard is whether Kevin will be mad.
Yeah, because I could tell already, because so this journalist, he did this, he had a 5-year kind of journey to uncover U.S. data surveillance state information over this dinner where he got really drunk or something with an unnamed source. Yep. And this source basically said, yeah, the government is like collecting all this data and then they're selling it and they're doing all this stuff. And at first I was like, well, is this like Patriot Act type of stuff that we know about, like Edward Snowden?
Tom Clancy wrote this novel.
Yeah, like all the stuff we already know. Of course, government was tapped into the telcos. And
of course.
We know all that. They still are.
We knew that.
Whatever.
As a 14-year-old teenager running BBSs.
Right. But then what got interesting was then he talks about his book that's coming out because this was all research for his book. And then you're like, oh, I see what's going on here. Yeah. He might be trying to promote his book through this. And I mean, I do want to say like this is obviously a problem, right? And a lot of people forget that, yes, the government is collecting information about us and they are probably doing it in some really shady ways and skirting around warrants and other types of laws we have in place in this country.
No, probably.
Yeah, they are. But And we get all comfortable with our lives thinking that this is just a natural thing that happens. So, like, I do agree we need to bring more attention to things like this, but is this really the right way, I guess, to do it?
You're saying his book the right way?
I don't know. It might be.
I don't know. But here's what I do know. Screw them.
Screw them or the government?
The government.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What the hell? Here's the quote that I think bothered me the most, and I don't remember who said it, but it was like, well, you know, people in the government were like, well, commercial entities are collecting this data and buying this data.
Why can't we?
And I'm like, my answer to that is the First Amendment. And here's why I say the First Amendment. Private companies can limit speech of their employees. The government can't. There's lots of things that private companies can do that the government can't. This makes me angry. And let me be clear. I get the argument. Well, we're stopping terrorists. No, you're not. We're protecting the kids. No, you're not. Right? You're collecting data. You're buying data. You are abusing the system to bypass the laws and rules we have to protect the innocent. Plain and simple. And does that mean that guilty people are going to get away with shit? Yeah. I don't care. I really don't. I agree 100% with the, I would rather one guilty person go free than 100 innocent people. Hmm. I'd rather 100 guilty people go free than one innocent person get convicted. And we know from our own work, from what we've read about the Patriot Act and the changes since 9/11 and the no-fly list and everything else like that, that the government screws up on a regular basis and blames somebody or tags somebody that isn't the right person to tag as the problem, right? I will tell you from personal experience, I was sitting in the back of a cop car. Somebody tried to steal my car. My car had broken down by the side of the road. This is years ago.
I don't remember this story.
Oh, yeah. So if I was 19, I'd be amazed. This is the second story you've learned new today.
Wow.
So I was 19. My car broke down. I had an 81 Cougar that I bought for $75. Okay, just to give you an idea of what a piece of crap this car was. Okay, and it broke down. And I parked it. I got it off to the side of the road. I called the police station, said, hey, guys, I got no way to get this home tonight. I'll get to it. I got a friend who'll come tow it or whatever tomorrow. It's out of the right drive. You know, it's not, you know, it's out of the road. Yep, no problem, done. But 2 o'clock in the morning, there's a knock on the door. And I knew like all the cops in the area, mainly because I wandered around and they would stop me and whatever. And so they knocked on my door. And it was two cops I didn't know. I'm like, you know, it was a cop knock. So you immediately, your heart goes, right, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, Mr. Johnson. And I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, yeah. You know, like, who's asking? You guys? So they said, well, somebody tried to steal your car, and we need you to come down and identify the property. And I laughed and said, nobody tried to steal my car. It was painted like a cow, okay? It was an 81 Cougar painted white with black spots, and it said, moo off on the back. Okay, like, this
I'm really trying to picture this.
Oh, okay. It was awesome. I wish I had a picture of it. And I said, nobody tried to steal my car. Like, this, you're full of it. Nobody is trying to steal this car. And they're like, no, Mr. Johnson, wait, we're gonna come up with it. Yeah, you gotta come with us. But, no, I don't gotta come with you. I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody. So they finally convinced me to get in the car. And I say to them, look, when we get there and the guys who are screwing around with me, like, jump out and go, ha ha ha, we got you. You two let them know I did not fall for this. I'm only getting in the car because you insisted, whatever. And the two cops are like, what are you talking about? Turned out that they had just gotten the call, go to this house and pick this guy up, bring him here. They had not seen the car yet. So the whole way to where the car was broken down, I'm like, this is ridiculous, guys. Nobody tried to steal this car. It's painted like a cow. There's no way that somebody tried to steal the car. As we pull up to where the car is, their headlights hit the car. And the one cop says, they tried to steal a cow. And I'm in the back seat like, I told you. No, I tried to steal. Like, no. Okay. So, but as we were driving, this story is actually relevant. This is not just from random tangent from Kevin. So as we were driving, when they got me in the back of the car, they ran my name. Right? And the cop said, Kevin, what's your full name? And by the way, I'm about to reveal all this information, but it's all public. Yeah. I said, what's Kevin Todd Johnson? And he said, what's your date of birth? I'm like, 2/27/1973. And he goes, when's the last time you were in Miami? That look is probably what was the look on my face. And I'm like, I don't know, the Metallica concert a couple months ago, right? Like, it was the Black album had come out and I went to the concert, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, there's a warrant out for your arrest.
Oh.
And I'm like,
wow.
What? And then the guy says, and let me be clear, he went from there's a warrant out for your arrest to, oh, never mind, not you. Like that. Like very casually, right? And I'm like, I'm in the back seat of the car, and I'm like, because in my head, I'm like, I'm already in the back of the car. I can't go anywhere. Yeah. I'm not getting out of this, right? Like, there's no. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, it turned out in Florida, there is a Kevin Todd Johnson, February 27th, 1973, but he's an African American man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wanted for murder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the cop said, if the race had matched, they would have had to take me, it would have been Monday morning. Before they could have figured something out. So that alone tells me the government's not real good at tracking names and stuff, right?
No.
This bothers me. It is rife for abuse. And the issue I have, let me be clear, I like the government. I think the government does some things good. I think there's a purpose.
They're not completely useless. Well, Congress is completely useless.
Congress is completely useless, but that's a different story, right? You know, what is the opposite of progress? And
I love that.
So do I. It's one of my favorite jokes. But they're rife for abuse. And what makes that worse, in my mind, is that every week we find out about another agency or government employee that abused their access, did stuff they weren't supposed to do, right? I'm not even talking about, in the movies, that detective's like, fuck the laws, let's get that guy. I'm talking about people who just, they think they're right, they think they're okay to do something, and they do it, and we find out about this all the time. Why would we possibly let them buy this data from data brokers? By the way, buying data from data brokers that Congress, yes, they're useless, are already talking about putting restrictions on because of how bad data brokers are. We've talked about that in episodes. So, talk out of both sides of your mouth. Why don't you, government? Right? Oh, bad. Got to protect our citizens. Well, except for our access to this data. No, bite me. That's wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, it just pisses me off. The whole thing pisses me off. Did I catch all the points you thought I was going to rant on, or are there any other ones?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay,
I think you did, actually.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, we hit them all. So.
Yeah. Yeah, this one pisses me off.
Well, our listeners, we'll have this link in the show notes, and you can read it for yourself. And
get mad along with me.
Yes, get mad with Kevin. Yes,
that's the subtitle of this podcast.
That's what I'll name the episode. Apparently, get mad with Kevin.
Get mad with Kevin. Have you been pissed off today? Well, now you are.
Should be another fun episode where I'll just have to go through and add some little bleeps here and there. It's
sorry,
fine. It happens naturally. Sometimes though, a few of those slip out. Like I forget about them, and that's okay.
Do people complain?
No, no.
Because okay. I try so hard not to curse.
I get complaints about other things, but not about you swearing.
Yeah. I'm curious about what we'll get this time.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. We'll hopefully have Scott back next week. He's been absent for the last several episodes. Our schedules just have not aligned. And I start to wonder if maybe he's afraid to talk about Canadian politics.
I was just going to say, it's probably because
U.S. politics.
It was the minister of jackassery that made him.
Yes. He's like, I'm done.
I'm out.
No, it's all good. So, and we've had some actually great comments on the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
Not because Scott hasn't been there, but it's just we've had a few, especially on our YouTube. So if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel where you can watch these episodes, I definitely recommend you do. And you get to see Kevin in all his glory and full activation Kevin,
Oh, man.
Hands moving. He gets very excited. That you can't see through audio only. So,
yeah.
Definitely check that out. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. And until next time, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at sharedsec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.